Amen. Good morning, everyone. In case you missed the welcome, my name is Alex Hanvey, and I get to be part of the Vine Church team here, and I am so thankful and excited to be part of what God is doing right here at the Vine, and I am extremely thankful and excited to be able to share God's word with you today and the word that he has laid on my heart. And I believe and I pray wholeheartedly that lives are changed today, not because I speak so eloquently or so well, but because the power of God does that. He changes lives, and not only a life for a moment, but he changes eternities. And I believe that around the world, eternities are being changed today. And so I'm excited to be able to open and unpack God's word. But as always, as part of the welcome today especially, I want to say happy Easter and happy Resurrection Sunday, because this is not something that we can just celebrate today, but we can celebrate this every single day because it stands true 365 days of the year. But I will give you two guesses on what we're going to talk about today. And it's not the Easter Bunny, and it's not Easter eggs, but Jesus and the resurrection, because those two things are so important for us, are so important for every single person that has ever lived and walked the earth. But I'm excited to unpack here what we're going to be diving into, as Pastor Tyler has led us over the last several weeks through a series called How to Thrive in Christ. And we've walked through Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. And in that, we've unpacked a lot of things that he has spoken or written to the church in Corinth that helps us even today. And that's no different than the message that we're going to share together today, specifically on the resurrection. So we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to go ahead and flip there just to get a head start. But in case you didn't already know, when it comes to Paul's letters to the church in Corinth, he writes these because of errant theology and doctrine that started to creep in. And he's trying to break the chains of influence that others have on the Christians within Corinth. And see, what we know from the book of Acts, earlier in Paul's life and in his ministry, he travels to northern Greece to begin preaching and sharing the gospel. But for his own safety, after some time there, he flees and he goes to southern Greece. And this is where he finds and comes to the city of Corinth. And he stays there for about a year and a half, preaching and teaching the message and the word of God to the people who are living there. And many come to be saved and to follow Jesus. And so a church is planted there. And Paul pours into them. He ministers to them. But now what we end up having is a conflict within the church in Corinth. And what we know as Christians for Christianity is that there are lots of beliefs. We could go line by line over every belief that is quote unquote part of Christianity, and we would be here all day. But as Christians, we probably already know, even if you're a quote unquote baby or young Christian, you already know that there are some primary beliefs that are held as essential that we all must believe. It doesn't mean we all understand it fully. I'll give you one example, the Trinity. It is hard to wrap your head around it and to explain it to somebody, but you can still believe it because God's word says it's true. But there are some beliefs that are secondary that we can disagree over, but it doesn't mean that we're not Christians. But there are some beliefs that are essential to being a Christian. Again, you don't have to fully comprehend it, but we believe it to be true because God's word says so. A few examples of that. One is that we believe as Christians that Jesus was born of a virgin. Why? Why is that important? It's not special just because of Mary, and it's not just some magical story. But a couple reasons is, one, because the word of God tells us so. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it tells us that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. And this also proves and shows Christ's divinity, his divineness, that he had and was a deity inside of him, not just fully human, but fully God and fully man. Because otherwise he would have been born of the will of man, but rather he came to this earth because of the will of God. The second is that there is one true God, no others, no more, no less, just one. There is one God, creator of everything, and he says so in his own words. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 and 6. Go read it. But there is one God. The third example of an essential core primary belief is that Jesus bodily rose from the grave. And that's what we celebrate today. That's what we are reminded of every single day. That there is hope because there is an empty tomb. Not because there was a good man who walked the earth and he did good things and he was kind to people, but because there was a man, a God man, who walked the earth perfectly, who died for you and for me because we are imperfect, but who rose from the grave in victory. That's what we celebrate. And that's what Paul was writing to the Corinthians about in chapter 15. Because they started to hear teachings that were contrary to the resurrection. But where did these teachings come from? Well, for Corinth, remember I said that it is in southern Greece. So the Greek culture did not believe in a resurrection. They didn't understand why somebody would want to be risen from the grave, because they believed that the body itself was a prison and held the spirit in bondage. So they did not believe that a resurrection was possible or even desired. But then also remember that Corinth was a Roman province, and Romans did not believe in a resurrection either. And then also as part of Judaism, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in a resurrection. They even challenged Jesus on the resurrection himself, and Jesus told them simply, "You do not understand the scriptures, and you do not understand the power of God." Because that tomb that we celebrate is not empty because someone thought it would be a cool story or a good idea. It's empty because of the power and the goodness of God. And nothing, not even sin or death, could defeat him. Not even sin or death could hold him down. But yet, Jesus rose and is still alive today. This is the hope that we have. This is the hope that Paul is trying to remind those in Corinth about, that they once held so dearly but had allowed the outside world to try and strip and pull that away from them. And Paul has such a close relationship with them and cares for them because he had been there for a year and a half preaching and teaching to them, witnessing to them of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 1. And this is what Paul says as he is writing to those. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, by this good news, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." You see, Paul didn't say, "Hey, this word I preached to you and all these good things that I told you to do and all the money you've been given, by those you are saved." No, he said, "By this word, by the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, you are saved if you believe. All you have to do is believe." Now, as Paul was writing this, and he says, "I want to remind you," parents, you understand. Have you ever had to remind someone about something you've told them once, twice, three times, 10 times, to pick up their toys, to clean their room, to put their dishes away, whatever the case is. Paul is writing to them and saying, hey, this is not the first time I have ever told you about this. But you seem to have forgotten. You seem to have taken your eyes off of the truth of the gospel. So let me remind you of the goodness that saves you, and that brings you a hope that cannot be taken away from you. All you have to do is believe. And so Paul goes on in verses 3 through 9, and this is what he says. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. You see, Paul starts to really dig in here and starts to really unpack and explain for them again the goodness of the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and why it matters and why it's so important. It's not just some story, but Paul goes and he says, look, I am telling you what I received firsthand is that Christ died for our sins. And don't miss this, because Paul says it twice, according to the Scriptures. You see, a lot of people struggle with how was the resurrection real? How can someone actually be raised from the dead? A lot of people wrestle with that. A lot of people don't understand it. We've never witnessed it, probably ourselves. We've never seen someone die and then come back to life 3 days later. But we can trust and believe. Why? Because the Scripture says so. So Paul is giving the Corinthians and us a framework on how we test and approve the things that are said about Scripture, about Jesus, about God, is we test it through the lens of Scripture. Because the thing is that Scripture proves Scripture. And that seems a little odd, because it's like, well, if you believe what it says, then how could it ever prove wrong? It's because there is nothing in the Word of God that has been proven wrong. And that's another belief that we hold as Christians, is that God's Word is inerrant. It is perfect, and it is true. And so we look to the Word of God to teach us. But we can find that Christ would die for sins 100 years before he was ever even born, probably thousands of years in Isaiah chapter 53 with the suffering servant that went into great detail of what Jesus would face for your sins and for mine, the price that he would pay for you and I. And then Paul goes on and say after his death, he would be buried. He would be put away. But then he would be raised on the third day. And again, he says, according to the Scriptures. And we can find this in the Old Testament. Just look in Genesis chapter 22. When God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, Abraham believed that God would somehow, some way, revive and bring back and resurrect his son, even if he followed through. So Abraham believed that he would sacrifice his son as God told him, and that God could do a miracle and what others said would be impossible. And even in that, Isaac, when him and Abraham get to the mountain, they say, well, I see the fire and the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb that would be sacrificed? And Abraham just calmly says to his son, the Lord will provide the sacrifice. And they go on. And before Abraham follows through, God stops him and provides a sacrifice. You see, God never intended for Abraham to follow through, but God was showing us what he would one day do for you and for me with his own son. Most likely, what is amazing is on the same mountain that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, God gives up his own for us to pay the price that you and I deserve. And then Jesus himself even references Jonah and being in the belly of the fish for 3 days before he would also do the same and walk from the grave. You see, Paul points to Scripture and says, hey, here is how you know the resurrection is true. When other people, the world outside, the voices tell you that it's not. Or why would you want that? How could it even be? Paul says, look to Scripture. But then he goes on and he says, you know what? If that's not enough, let me give you eyewitness testimony. And maybe you think one person, two or three people, 4 or 5 people, maybe 10 people is enough. But no, Paul goes in and he says, Peter, the other disciples of the 12, more than 500 believers at one time. How do you explain more than 500 people seeing the risen Savior at one time? James, the brother of Jesus, who did not believe that Jesus was the Christ or the Messiah while he was on earth doing his ministry. But James, who wrote a book in the Bible that we read today, came to believe. He was changed. And then Paul says the rest of the apostles, those who were sent out to share the good news of the gospel, who witnessed it, who saw it. You know, and a lot of people today, they say, well, if I can't touch Jesus, if I can't see him with my own eyes, how can I believe? But so many there did. You would believe that Alexander the Great, I'm not talking about myself, but Alexander the Great was a real person. You would believe that Napoleon, not dynamite, but Napoleon was a real person. You've never seen them. You've never touched them. But you believe some written testimonies about them. Over 500 people, some of which sat down with Jesus. Some of which touched the nail-scarred hands and his side. Some of which had a meal with him. You know, I go back to the bodily resurrection. Some believe that Jesus did rise from the grave, but it was just his spirit, not his body. But no, we know from Scripture, and we know from the testimony of those who touched his flesh, that he bodily rose from the grave. And so we see this not only from Scripture itself, but from those who witnessed it, those who were there, and those who saw it and believed it to be true. And last of all, Paul says, even me. Because if you don't know this about Paul, Paul was the one chasing, persecuting, imprisoning, and killing Christians for saying that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ. But now here he is, risking his own life to preach the gospel and to teach others who Jesus really is, because he had an encounter with the risen Savior. Not the dead Savior, not the one hearing stories, but of the risen Messiah. And then he goes on in this chapter in verses 12 through 16. And Paul says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. So now Paul really presses in on the church in Corinth and he says, look, if you're going to believe that a resurrection is not possible and that Christ has not been raised, then the preaching and teaching of so many is useless. It's worthless. The faith of so many is pointless. There's nothing that comes from it. And even more so, those who testify and proclaim of the resurrection, we are also found to be false witnesses against God Because we're saying he did something that he did not do. But Paul knows and believes in his heart, as we will see, that it is true that Christ was raised. But those in the church are struggling. They are wrestling with this and trying to understand what is true and what is not. And they are looking to believe, and there are people today who still have a hard time understanding the resurrection, who still have a hard time believing that it is true. And understanding, was it a bodily resurrection? Was it just spiritual? Was it just a metaphor, something for us to look to give us encouragement or hope? But Paul says, look, if all of that is true or untrue, that the resurrection happened, and there is no point in what we are doing. And so he goes on in verses 17 through 19. And Paul writes to them and says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep or who have passed away and gone ahead in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. The saddest part of this is for those who don't believe in a resurrection. There's no hope beyond this life. There's no future. There's no next step. There's no eternity to look forward to. And Paul is saying the world would look at Christians who believe in a resurrection and say, it's useless. It's pointless. What are you doing? Why are you wasting your time chasing after something that is not true? But when you look at it and you look at the lack of hope of someone who doesn't hold the resurrection to be true, who doesn't follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior and have the promise and the hope of an eternity, I believe they are most to be pitied. Because Paul then goes on and he says, in verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul reminds us, and he reminds those in Corinth, don't listen to the lies of the world. I have seen it myself with my own eyes. And not because it sounded good, but because I experienced it. And Paul's life was changed from chasing and persecuting those who followed Christ to trying to lead everyone that he knows and that he can to believe in Christ. That's what the gospel does, is it changes who you are. It changes your mission. It changes and gives you purpose and a hope. And then Paul goes on a little bit later in this letter in verse 33. And he reminds the Corinthians, he says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And I love this precious truth, because you and I can take this with us. Because we have to be careful of who we allow ourselves to be around. Because the influence of others can take our eyes off of the promise that Christ has for us. The truth and the path that Christ has laid out before us. We must be diligent. Now, a lot of people will use this and they'll say, well, hold on a second. Jesus hung out with sinners. Jesus fellowshiped with those who were sinning, and he was okay with it. If Jesus was alive, I've heard this, and it really frustrates me, because they'll say, if Jesus was alive, he'd be hanging out in the bars, partying up with everybody. Wrong. Jesus did not come and fellowship to accept the sin of those he was with, but rather to call them to repentance of the sin that they lived in, not to celebrate it, but to get them to understand that they were on a path to hell, to death. But he had come to pay the price, not because they deserved it, but because his love was so great for each and every one of them, for you and for me. And so we have to be careful not to allow ourselves to be influenced by the world, but rather to allow God to use us, the Holy Spirit inside of us, to influence the world around us. To not persecute and chase the world, but rather to point the world to Jesus and to show them that there is hope, that there is a way, because there is an empty tomb today that you and I can hold to and look to and find peace and comfort in, even when the world says that we are wasting our time. And Paul goes on through the rest of this chapter, and he talks to those in Corinth and explains to them that through one man came sin and death, and that was through Adam. But through one man came forgiveness and life, and that is through Christ. And that only happened because of the gospel in which Paul shared, that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose. Those three things are the good news, the gospel that we hold to, the gospel that changes a life and an eternity. So with all the evidence that Paul gives, that Scripture gives, the books, the articles, those who have written about Jesus and the resurrection and the proof that exists of it today, do you live your life today feeling forgiven? Or are you living your life today feeling defeated? Feeling like there is nothing that you can do. There is no hope for you. Because I am here today to tell you that you have hope. Because you are loved by a Savior who lived the perfect life. Did not deserve death, but took death as his penalty. To pay that price for you and for me. And not only did he stop there, but he defeated both sin and death, rising from the grave. And because of that, as Paul writes in verse 54, he says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law that you and I cannot keep, the law that Jesus lived perfectly. And in verse 57, he says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. I don't know where you are today in a relationship with God. Whether you believe that Jesus was a real person, was someone who was made up, it was a cool story, or whether the resurrection is true. But what I want you to do right now in this moment is to let God show you that he is real. There's nothing I can do. There's no amount of words I can speak to change a heart, but God can. The Holy Spirit can. And I pray that in this moment right now that God is moving in those who are in this house and those who are watching online. Because I believe that there are some here today who have never surrendered to Christ. You have never followed him as your Savior. You thought maybe it was a good idea. He was a good person. You thought maybe it was some cool stories, but you've never said, Jesus, I surrender and I believe. And if you're in this house today or you're watching online, may God reveal to you the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you will find a hope that will never be taken and a hope that will never be shaken, and you will find salvation. Not in yourself, not in the things of this world, but in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence. Thank you for everyone who is in this house. And thank you for those who are watching online right now, Lord. I pray that you are opening ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to believe. Lord, only you can change a heart. Only you can open blind eyes and open deaf ears, Lord. to receive the truth of the gospel, to receive the life that comes from Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you are moving and stirring in hearts. That no one will leave this house today. No one will walk away from this message today with doubt or uncertainty. But everyone will know and believe that Jesus is who he says he is. That he lived the perfect sinless life we could not. That he paid our price for sin on the cross. Not only that, but what we celebrate today is that he rose from the grave, defeating both sin and death for eternity. If that is you and you are wrestling or have been wrestling and struggling with it, but you feel right now that God has revealed to you, he is speaking to you, he is drawing you to him, then I want you to pray this prayer with me. But understand, the words are not magical. There is nothing special, but rather it is the faith in your heart that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. He did what he came to do, and he rose from the grave in victory. Now, we're all going to pray together for the benefit of those who are praying out loud for the first time. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sins. I turn from my way to follow you. You live the perfect life. You died my death on the cross. And you rose in victory over sin and death. Teach me to follow you the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer wholeheartedly, surrendering for the first time to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to do something. Now, I'm just the one looking around, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand when I count to three. Or if you're online, leave a comment. Let us know. Send us an email at hello@thevine.tv because we want to celebrate with you. We want to encourage you. One, two, three. If you prayed that prayer, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you're online, leave us a comment. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise the Lord. I want you to know, for any and everyone who surrenders their life to Jesus, to follow him and to know him as Christ, that there are angels in heaven celebrating and praising our Lord and Savior for your salvation, for what he has done to open blind eyes, to open closed ears, and open hearts to receive and believe. Lord Jesus, I pray for each and every person here, those who are watching online, those who may see this a week from now, a month from now, or a year from now. Dear Lord, I pray that you will move in hearts, that you will draw each and every one of us closer to you, and you will help us never to forget the hope that comes from Christ. And the proof that is in the empty tomb that he left almost 2,000 years ago. Lord, may we never be shaken, but may we stand firm, not by our own deeds, efforts, or works, but by the finished work on the cross, and by our risen Savior and King. Amen. Let's pray. Or let's stand and worship together.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son, who make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
right. Can we all celebrate the fact of what we just sang, that His wounds paid our penalty, our price. His wounds He took so that you didn't have to, so that I didn't have to. He lived the perfect life that you and I couldn't. He paid our death on the cross. And then He rose in victory, but did not keep that for Himself, but rather extended it to us so that you and I can celebrate and walk not in defeat or shame of our sins and our brokenness, but rather we could walk in victory and in life because of His work and His love for you and for me. For anyone here today who may have questions about your relationship with Jesus, what it means to follow Him, what it means to walk with Him, I would be happy to talk with you after the service. Find me. I would love to answer any questions, pray with you, pray for you. But also, if you're online and you have questions, email us at hello@thevine.tv. We have a new believers booklet and guide that we would love to share with you to help you, to encourage you, and just to be there to walk shoulder in shoulder with you here at The Vine. But thank you so much for spending this day, not just with us here, but in the presence of our God, lifting our voices to sing praise and worship to Him, because we celebrate today a risen King, a Savior that is alive and that gives us hope for tomorrow and for all eternity. We hope and pray that you'll join us again next week as well, next Sunday, right back here at The Vine. Thank you. God bless. Have a great week. See you again next time.